Ongoing this fall, Carolina Public Humanities on campus is doing a series of lectures at Flyleaf Books called Humanities in Action. These are lectures that you can go and watch in person at Flyleaf. You can also experience them online. Humanities.unc.edu is their website for more information on Carolina Public Humanities in general and also this particular series of events, which is going to be ongoing through the month of October. That series kicked off last month with a lecture on Afghanistan. David Shanzer is a Duke professor and the director of the Triangle Center on Terrorism and Homeland Security. His talk was called Doomed from the Start, Two Decades of Failed American Policy in Afghanistan. And Dr. Shanzer joins us here in the studio to talk about it. David, thank you so much for being here today. Good morning.
Happy to be here.
And the last time we talked about you on the air, I was speaking with David Price, congressman, and we were talking about a piece that you had recently written on Afghanistan, and he had nothing but high praise for both you and the piece. So I'm glad to have you actually in the studio.
Well, happy to be here. I think it's my first time on the station.
Yeah. So the talk was called Doomed from the Start. Explain that. What is it about our approach to Afghanistan or the whole 20 years of policy and actions in Afghanistan that was doomed from the start?
You know, I think it goes all the way back to the day of 9/11 itself, and when the first statements that President Bush made on that day were kind of a classic response to terrorism. We're going to find these people, we're going to bring them to justice, we're going to prevent this kind of attack from ever happening again. And I would call that like classic counterterrorism. By that evening, by the time he got back to the White House, he made some statements to the National Security Council. It was much more, we're at war. This is an attack on the American way of life and the American freedom. And therefore, you know, we need a much more comprehensive response to somehow protect that this was that this terrorism was a threat to the entire idea of liberal values and so on. And therefore, we need to do something much more expansive to try to make the world safe for freedom, liberalism, tolerance. And that led us into a situation, you know, first in Afghanistan, then in Iraq, where we did much more than we needed to do to tame the terrorist threat, to decapitate al-Qaeda, to, you know, degrade it and weaken it so it couldn't attack us again, and literally took on the goal of trying to transform these societies. And I think especially in Afghanistan, in the kind of country, the history, culture, and we can talk about all those things, that was a bridge too far. There was something that was really unachievable at an acceptable cost to the United States, and that's why we're doomed from the start.
Yeah. Politically, was there an alternative in September, October of 2001? Because I remember 2003, there were definitely alternatives to what we did in Iraq. That was a specific approach that was being pushed by a specific group of people. In 2001, in my memory, it felt like going into Afghanistan seemed like the obvious thing to do at the time. I don't know what your take on it was.
Yes, I think that once the Taliban decided not to turn bin Laden over and his, you know, the main perpetrators over to the United States, at that point, you know, some sort of military intervention was required. Mm-hmm. But even when I'm not saying that, you know, aggressive counterterrorism cannot include some sort of military action, some sort of, you know, even a war to achieve particular aims, which were to degrade, weaken al-Qaeda so it couldn't harm us again from Afghanistan. So I think that, you know, going in and then the failure of the Taliban to, you know, turn bin Laden over, I think made them a lawful target of our aggression as well. So, you know, I do support the initial intervention. I support our efforts. You know, I think we should have actually gone to get bin Laden and Tora Bora, no matter what the cost. Given the cost that we suffered later on, they would have been minimal. And that might have done the trick to take the steam out of this movement early on. But that didn't happen. So then the question is, once we defeated the Taliban, kicked al-Qaeda into the hinterlands of Pakistan, then what should we have done? And I think we should have moved very quickly to have an Afghan government that was which did happen, but I don't think we needed a large-scale invasion at that point, mm-hmm. occupying the country, trying to rid the entire country of any element of the Taliban, but rather have kept a much smaller counterterrorism-focused force in the country without trying to do essentially a massive reconstruction nation-building project that was doomed to fail.
Speaking with David Chancellor, again, director of the Triangle Center on Terrorism and Homeland Security, talking about a talk that he gave last month at Flyleaf Books, Doomed from the Start, Two Decades of Failed American Policy in Afghanistan. So kind of fast forwarding 20 years, now obviously everyone's concerned about the way we left Afghanistan. Definitely not in any way, shape, or form ideal. Was there a better alternative?
Well, you know, there's always better alternatives to something bad that happens, although there's never a good way to lose a war. Mm-hmm. So let's understand, if the decision was to leave Afghanistan, there was going to be some level of chaos with much different than Iraq, where in Iraq, you know, there was a level of stability. There wasn't a hot civil war going on. Here you had an enemy that was going to take over when we left. So there's never a clean way to lose a war, which is what essentially we were doing. You know, that said, you have to look both at Trump's decisions and Biden's decisions. Trump decided that he wanted to leave Afghanistan, signed, you know, entered into negotiations with the enemy. And again, our goal was always to create a stable Afghan government that was capable of defending itself. So if that's your goal, you don't enter into unilateral negotiations with your enemy to essentially dictate the terms of your withdrawal, which is what the agreement that was reached in the end of February 2020 actually said. It did nothing to bring about peace. It did nothing to secure the Afghan government. It actually cut the legs out from under that very government. So then you have, you know, by the time Biden takes over on January 20, 2021, 10 months of essentially the Taliban slowly taking over parts of the country. But basically the Afghan government, which was extremely unpopular, very corrupted, they were all basically heading to the hills with the cash during these 10 months because they knew the jig was up. The United States had essentially entered into terms of withdrawal with the enemy. And then the Afghan government, the Afghan army and police force were degrading, not fighting, losing battles, and so on. So by the time Biden comes in January 20, my view is that he had two decisions, either to leave, as Trump had agreed to on some timetable, or to essentially escalate the war. We would have had to send far more troops than were there, and those troops would have had to fight, not just provide support, as we had been doing for many years to the Afghan army, because the Afghan army was in terrible shape. So I think it was the right decision not to re-escalate and get us deeper into a civil war that, of course, the United States could win, but at what cost? And in perpetuity, then, essentially having to defend this government because it could not possibly stand on its own.
All of that seems pretty straightforward, which then begs the question, why did intelligence not see that coming as well as they could have?
I don't have a good answer for that. I mean, the Secretary of Defense and the Joint Chief of Staff both testified last week that these were, you know, very bad errors, that they didn't understand how bad the situation, which is remarkable given that we had been there for 20 years. I think there was just, you know, a huge overestimation. You know, I think when you build something, you know, think about when you build with your kid and you build a beautiful project, a castle in the backyard, you think, well, that's going to withstand, you know, the next thunderstorm. Well, the thunderstorm comes and it actually just falls apart. So you have this confidence because you've been working with these people. You see the spirit of corps. You see what they're achieving on the battlefield, and you have overestimated how good that they are. And I think we deeply underestimated the effect of the Trump agreement. Everybody knows that America is leaving. Is it going to be, you know, 10, 5, 10, 6, you know, we're out of there. So everyone in Afghanistan is essentially hedging their bets. Mm-hmm. And they are doing what they need to do to secure themselves, their family. And let's understand, the big problem with Afghanistan has always been that it doesn't have this sense of nationhood. It's a much more tribal society. People are going to do what's right for their brothers, their cousins, their tribe, well before what they think is necessary to defend this kind of very abstract notion of the nation. So I think anybody who was looking and saying, listen, America's leaving, Taliban's probably going to take over, they're going to do what they have to do to protect themselves and their family. And that was to not to be picking up arms and fighting hard defend this country. And I think it is a big failure on behalf of, unfortunately, on behalf of both the military and our intelligence agencies that they didn't foresee this.
Speaking with David Chanzer, talking about Afghanistan, did we have, and I guess do we have, is probably the more important question now, a moral obligation to the people of Afghanistan after having done what we did there for the last 20 years?
Well, certainly we have a very deep obligation to the people who worked with us and supported our efforts in Afghanistan, essentially to protect ourselves from Al-Qaeda and affiliated organizations. So I'm very much supportive of the airlift unprecedented airlift that took place, the effort to resettle these people and give them a good life in the United States. You know, where you draw the line as to, you know, who you're going to bring and who doesn't qualify is horrible, arbitrary, and so on. There are going to be tragic stories and so on. There's also this issue relating to, you know, the lives of women and young girls. And we were able to create, you know, pockets of decency in Afghanistan where women were able to live the lives that they should be entitled to live in a modern society. I don't know if we obligated ourselves to maintain that forever at, you know, an unknowable cost to the U.S. taxpayer, lives of families and troops, if that's what was necessary. So that is an absolute tragedy that life is not going to exist in Afghanistan for those women and girls. So it is it's a tough pill to swallow, but I think, you know, I don't think we have had an obligation to stay there forever to protect to create that kind of life for. We tried. We tried very hard, but we failed, and the costs were just essentially too high.
And speaking, again, we're speaking with David Chanzer. Speaking of that incredible effort, that's an effort that involved a lot of American troops and soldiers over the last 20 years, and I've just studied this conflict for two decades. One of the things that came out immediately after the withdrawal was a lot of folks who had served in Afghanistan expressing a lot of frustration about this mission is now ended in evident failure, and this is something that I gave a significant amount of my life for, and some people gave their entire lives for. What, speak with people who did serve in Afghanistan who expressed that frustration. What do you say to them?
Well, let's especially point out the 13 people who gave their lives as part of the rescue mission.
Yeah.
And hopefully the last American deaths in Afghanistan. And it's, you know, truly, truly heartbreaking. I think there's a lot of division in the military in terms of how different people feel about Afghanistan. Of course, that's understandable. There are many who felt, you know, like I did, this was never going to work, and we should essentially cut our losses and stop trying to make these, you know, incredible sacrifices for something that was never going to work. Others who feel like, just as you said, we have put so much effort into it, how can we possibly walk away? You know, the bottom line is the people who went there, and now I'm including not just our soldiers, many people who were supporting them, contractors, humanitarian aid workers, mm-hmm. Civilian in the government, people in the intelligence services, many of whom gave their lives, sacrificed their lives as well. You know, they performed at a very high level. They did everything that they could, and they followed the goals of their government, governments under Republican presidents, Democratic presidents, and so on. So, you know, I feel that they served their country, they fulfilled their duties in an incredibly honorable way, They should certainly be take pride in the work that they did. And not everything, the United States is not capable of always achieving the totality of its goals. Circumstances change. We were somehow victims of some success in the idea that we did diminish greatly the threat from Al-Qaeda and affiliated groups, and that was our goal. So the people who served did achieve that. Now, are those goals now not secure anymore? Is Al-Qaeda going to come back? You know, we're going to have to see. So I think that they served incredibly honorably. They fulfilled an important service of making the world much safer from these threats. And unfortunately, we weren't able to secure those for the long term. And, you know, again, it's tragic, but I feel the people served honorably and well.
I've got to wrap up. We're speaking with David Shanzer. As we do wrap up, your final thoughts, what should be our biggest lesson or our biggest takeaway from all of this?
Well, I think we need to understand that we have a tremendously powerful military. We have a very vibrant economy. We have great wealth, but we have to be more humble, perhaps, about what our goals are and our ability to transform societies to try to, you know, meet our particular national security goals, and maybe step back and think of whether there are other ways that are less ambitious, possibly. That's not very inspiring. You know, everybody wants to think about America, World War II, you know, that we are going to, you know, achieve the victory against the great enemy and bring liberalism and democracy around the world for everyone to enjoy. And I wish that were possible in this world, but I think we just need to be more pragmatic in that respect.
The talk was doomed from the start. 2 decades of failed American policy in Afghanistan. That kicked off Carolina Public Humanities' Humanities in Action series. Find out more about upcoming events at humanities.unc.edu. Dr. David Shanzer, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.